Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever.
Thank you so much for that, ladies. Appreciate that. I'm sitting there thinking about that, and under His wings, if y'all have ever had, anybody ever had chickens, and that old mama hen, sometimes those old mama hens don't even want you gathering the eggs from underneath of them, and they'll peck you and fight you and claw you. It's reminded of a story that mama will gather those chicks in if there's danger, you know, bring them in under her wings. And the Lord said that to Israel at least once. Oh, how I would have gathered you, you know. Throughout the scriptures, it's mentioned, but how that mama hen would protect those chicks and how that relates to our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a story. I don't know if it's a true story or not. You may have heard it before, but there's a farmer that had a fire, and his barn burnt down, and they were able to get most of the animals out and some of the tack and things out. But the barn burnt to the ground, and the next day or so after things were cooled down, he just kind of went out to assess what was left, and, you know, picking up pieces, you know, tools and things that were left that weren't burnt up, and he came across this old chicken carcass laying there that had been just burnt to death, you know, and kind of saddened him how he lost one of his chickens and she hadn't got out. And, you know, he just kind of, just really without thinking, just kind of took his boot and kicked her over, and there went about 12 little chicks running out from underneath of her. How she'd stayed, you know, stayed during that fire and saved her little babies. Boy, how much more our Lord does for us. How much more He does for us. Praise the Lord for that. We're going to be in the book of Romans today. If you would, turn to the book of Romans chapter 5, please. Book of Romans chapter 5. I love this chapter. Boy, there's a lot of stuff here. And the book of Romans is wonderful. But chapter 5 is so full. And got some things I want us to see today. And I don't intend to be long, but I want to cover these things that in Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 12. So when you find your place there in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, if you would please stand in honor and reverence to God's Word. This isn't for me or any other person. This is in reverence to God's Word. We stand for God's Word. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. I'll just read down through verse 14, then I'll pray and you can be seated. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says this: "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." Father, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you, God, for this time that we have, God, to come into your house and to gather around your word, God, to sing hymns of worship and hymns of praise, and Lord, to have a special song to us that reminds us of your goodness and of your grace and of your help. We're so thankful, God, We could say already, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And now, Lord, at this time of the service, I humbly ask for your help and your touch and your direction, God, as I try to speak the things that you have put in my heart and my mind. Lord, I have notes on a page and I have thoughts that I've considered and things that I'd like to say. But God, I want you to have all the preeminence. I want you to do what needs to be done. And so, Lord, I offer myself to you this morning as an instrument, as a vessel, and as a mouthpiece for you. God, that you would do what you know needs to be done in each of our hearts and each of our lives. And Lord, for all of it, we will say thank you. And we will give you the honor and the glory, Lord, for you alone are worthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. A lot of things here, and there's just too much that, you know, for us to cover in one service in these, even these few verses. But we see previously that the book of Romans, the first four chapters, have dealt with condemnation and judgment. And now Paul is going to kind of change feet a little bit here as we get into these verses, and he's going to go on to something greater, something more. And we're going to see a phrase here, and you actually see in chapter 5 of the book of Romans, five different times where the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, uses this term, much more. Much more. All throughout the Bible, that term, that two-word phrase, that term much more, in every instance, we're talking about many different things, is used 40 times in the entire Bible. And here in this one chapter, in just a few verses really, God uses it five times. Much more, much more, much more. So here in these verses, as we begin in verse number 12, Paul is going to lay out for us a contrast between two men. Between two men. And he uses the word one. O-N-E. He uses the word one 11 times in these verses. Because it's very important that we understand that this contrast means so much to the human race. Because we have, on one hand, we have a man named Adam. Amen. The Bible tells us later on, I don't have the address specifically, but the Bible tells us that says that Jesus Christ is even called the second Adam, or the second man. And so really, when we look all throughout history, really, only two men stand out. Amen. They stand out more than any other men in the Bible. Now, we're talking about the man, Jesus Christ. Now, we know He is God. He is altogether God, completely God, 100% God. But He came to this earth as a man. He walked this earth as a man. And in the same flesh that you and I walk in, our Lord and Savior, our God, our Creator, walked in the same flesh that we walked in. Yet without sin. Praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. Because we needed a sinless sacrifice. Praise God. But we see this word one, one, one. And Paul, what he's going to do is contrast these two men. Because really there are only two types of people in all of the human race. When it really comes down to it. Those who are in Adam. And those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, to be sure, we were all in Adam. Now, you may be saved here this morning, and you may have been saved for a number of years. Tom's been saved for about 135 years. He told us this morning he was 14 when he got saved. He's been saved a long time, right? Maybe some of you not as long. Elias, praise the Lord, he's been saved how long? Sorry to put you on the spot.
October last year.
Yeah. Praise the Lord, not quite a year yet. Amen. We were all in Adam. Amen. But now at least these two men, and I know I am, are in Jesus Christ. So we're not the same as we used to be. Amen. So we see this contrast. And by the way, it's not a competition. It's just a contrast. These men, more than any other men in the whole entire human race from all of history, impacted our race more than any other. Because in Adam, we saw here that all have sinned. We are all in sin. Was it later in the book of Romans chapter 6? Isn't it verse 23? For the wages of sin is death. We see we all deserve death. Why? Because we have all sinned. Now, we see here that not everyone sinned after the similitude or like Adam's sin. But because of Adam's sin, we are now born sinners. We've got 13 grandchildren, praise the Lord. And our youngest one, is she just 4 months now? She's sweet. She's precious. She is a good baby. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm partial, but she is a good baby. She's teething right now, just tearing her up, but she doesn't even cry about it. Only time she fusses a little bit when she gets hungry. I can't believe it. Our daughter and son-in-law, they won the lottery on that one. She sleeps. My goodness. But you know what? That precious, sweet little baby was born a sinner. Born a sinner. Bound for hell. Phew. What a responsibility we have. What a responsibility we have. But 11 times Paul uses the word one. We see it here in verse number 12. Now there is a wherefore that begins verse number 12. And I believe that this goes back and refers to what we saw in Romans 3 verse 19 through 23. I want to go back and read these verses very quickly because I believe this references back, because from there until these verses is really kind of a pause in the thought. But in Romans chapter 3, let's read these verses very quickly. Verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I believe when we look at wherefore, in chapter 12, it really is pointing back to the fact that outside of the law, there is righteousness in God through Jesus Christ. Why? For all have sinned. Verse 12 of our text here, chapter 5. Wherefore? Because we were in sin. Because law can do nothing. Because even the law and the prophets look to Jesus Christ. Wherefore, because of those things, we need to see that by one man, sin entered into the world. It becomes very simple. Do you realize salvation, the gospel, is not complicated? Salvation is very, very simple. We were in sin under Adam. We did not have to physically make the same sin or do the same thing that Adam did, but yet we're all concluded under sin in the eyes of God. Because we all came from Adam. We were born in Adam. That's why the Bible talks about being born again. The rebirth. We have to be born again. Born from someone else other than Adam. And so here we see this contrast. The acts of these two men had enormous consequences on the entire human race. So verse 12 through verse 14 is all about Adam. One man, death, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now we have a little parenthetical statement here, and it goes down several verses. But it's talking about until the law, in verse 13, sin was in the world, but it was not imputed, where there's no law. So the law did not come to make Adam's or our situation better. Because the law cannot do that. Did we talk about that last week? Was that last week I talked about the Good Samaritan? Maybe last Sunday night, I don't remember. The law couldn't do anything for that man. The law cannot do anything for Adam. The law did not come to take away sin. The law came to be a schoolmaster to show all of us our sin. What law did was made sin visible. What the law did was made sin personal. The law laid out, you know, this is a sin, and this is a sin, and this is a sin, and this requires blood, and this requires this, and this requires this. The law did not take care of the problem that Adam made. The law could not clean up the mess Adam made. But what it did was point it out. The law made it clear. You're a sinner because you can't keep God's law. There's no way for you to keep God's law. You are a sinner. And as we study the Word of God and we deal with these doctrines, there's a term called headship. Headship. And basically, it is just a principle of representation. Adam represents the entire human race. Because Adam and Eve are the only two people in existence. And in Adam, we have our life, our existence naturally. We came forth out of the bowels of Adam. It's just simple. They're the only two people. They began to have children. We all are descendants of Adam. That's natural. But because of him, we're all born in sin and under the condemnation of that sin. Not only are we sinners, we are hopelessly lost. In Adam, we are hopelessly lost under the condemnation of that sin. That is a legal term. We have sinned. We have offended the law. We have offended God. Now, we are under the condemnation, the weight of the payment of that sin in Adam. And again, we are all in Adam. What these two men did individually impacts the entire world, the entire human race. One man ruined his race, and one man redeems his race. Adam ruined his race. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to redeem his race. Amen. Now, how can one man, the act of one man, affect so many? Well, we talked about how Adam can affect so many. We're all born from Adam. But how can something change and such a drastic thing take place because of the act of one man? So we see in verses 12 through 14 the hopelessness that the human race has in Adam. Even from Adam to Moses, death, the Bible says, death reigned, right? Death reigned in those times. Death reigned because Adam sinned, and death reigned because when sin comes, so death comes, and death passes upon all men. But I like the end of verse 14. Praise God that he put this in there. That Adam was the figure of him that was to come. That's why I believe that we know that Jesus was called the second man or the second Adam. All of this, everything that took place, did God know that Adam was going to sin in the garden? Absolutely he did. Absolutely he did. Now you could say, and a lot of people have asked, well, what if Adam had not sinned? Well, then someone else would have, you know. But God knew that he was going to. Did Adam realize what he was doing? I think Adam was just like Eve. Now, Eve was tempted. Eve was seduced by Satan, and he lied to her. But Adam walked right into the same thing, and he said, I'm going to do it too. Maybe he was listening to Satan when Satan said, oh, you're not going to die. Actually, your eyes are going to be open and you'll be able to know the difference between good and evil, and you're going to be like gods. Now, I don't know if Adam did it because of that, but I don't think that Adam thought it through and realized that, hey, what I'm going to do is spell out death for everyone that comes after me. Now, as I said, we've got four kids and we've got 13 grandkids now, and it would be good for me and good for us before we made any really big decisions to think about what the consequences are going to be, not only for me, not only for my wife, but those kids and grandkids coming along. Sometimes we don't think about those things. We make rash decisions. We make rash choices. And it ends up costing not only us, but those that are coming behind us. I don't think Adam thought that through. But verse 15 starts with but. But. That means there's a difference. But. Verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, these verses that we're gonna read and get through, and I'm gonna have to hurry. This is hard reading. It's kind of hard reading because it kind of almost, you feel like you're kind of going back and forth. And we, I think we as Christians, as we read chapter 5, when we read these verses, we agree. And we'll nod and we'll say amen. Because it's God's word and we believe God's word and we agree with it. But I don't know that we always understand exactly what we're reading. So if we read through this quickly, sometimes we just kind of read over it and we say, okay, yes, that's, I believe it. And we'll pick out a few verses or a few thoughts or a few words and we kind of, that's what we kind of lean on. We really don't understand everything. But the Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Here is that contrast that we're talking about. Yes, Adam and Jesus Christ are the two figureheads, the two representatives, the two headships of the human race, but that's where the similarities end. Because we'll see over and over, and I won't take the time to dissect all of this, we'll see over and over in the next several verses how that Adam did this, but Jesus did this. What Adam did caused this, but what Jesus did caused this. If I were to title this message, I would title it, Grace is Greater Than All Our Sin. Grace is greater than all our sin. But, verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. It's different. The offense of Adam is much different than the free gift that Jesus Christ bought. For, if through the offense of one, many be dead, here's this word, these words, much more the grace of God. So, for the power that Adam's sin had upon many, there's much more power in the gift that Jesus Christ gave. They're similar, but they're not equal. They each did something to affect the human race, but Jesus was much more. We see much more in verse number 9. Much more then, we didn't read it, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Much more. Verse 10. We're reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Jesus is always much more, much more. In the book of Hebrews, Paul writes and uses this term, better than, a number of times. Jesus Christ is better than. The gospel is better than. We see also throughout the Word of God that Jesus Christ is greater than, greater than. So I got my sin nature from Adam. Now, I didn't sin the same sin that Adam did necessarily. But I still sin. And what I received from Adam was my sin nature. The natural man is a sinner. We got our sin nature from Adam. But I thank God that it doesn't have to stay that way. We have a relationship in Adam, with Adam, because of sin. We got our sin nature from him. That is the root cause of humanity's problem. What is the root cause of all that's going on in the world today? Sin. You know, I hear it all the time. Well, that's the problem with the world today. The education system. It's a politics. No, it's sin. It's all sin. Sin is the world's problem. You have problems in your life because of sin. I have problems in my life because of sin. Might not even be my own sin. Might not even be your own sin. But it's all because of sin. Satan had an idea. He had it before the Garden of Eden. He had it when he was still in heaven, didn't he? I will be like unto the Most High God. I will ascend to the throne of God. Pride and arrogance, and God cast him down. Well, now we got to deal with them, right? And we know he walks about the earth, and he has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I'm thankful that even the sin that he dreamed up, that he thought up to bring man to their knees, someone else was coming. As we read in verse 12 and verse 14, we see darkness, but someone else was coming. At the end of verse 14, someone else was coming. That someone was the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as the offense, so is also for the free gift. They're different. Much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, we're in verse 15, which is by one man, Jesus Christ hath abounded to many. We'll see that word again too, abound. Abounded. Unto many. Just like Adam's sin affected many, so the obedience of Christ affects many. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. It's kind of hard reading, but what does it mean? It just means that Jesus Christ is different than Adam. That his obedience was much different than Adam's disobedience. And that Jesus Christ is much more than anything Adam could do. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. So one sin brought judgment and condemnation upon all men. But look at this. But the free gift, there in the end of verse 16, is of many offenses unto justification. Did Jesus Christ die for one sin? Did Jesus Christ die for one person's sin? He died for every person's sin. For every sin. Now, if it would be possible, let's say you had a loved one, a child, a grandchild that was on death row for a murder or a crime they committed. And let's just say the law would allow you to go take their place and substitute and take their death penalty. If the law allowed you to do that, you'd only be dying for one person's sin. You'd only be dying for one act, for one person. But what Jesus Christ did, one act, it says, by many offenses. He covered many offenses. What Adam did once, Jesus Christ also did once, but it covers a multitude of sins. Many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. Now, I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to give this away. First of all, point number one, I want to say that grace has a greater provision. We saw that in verse 15. Much more, the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus. The free gift is not like the transgression. Adam, in Adam, there is sinfulness and death. In Jesus, there is righteousness and obedience, and all can live. I didn't say that all do live. There are folks, there are groups that believe that because Jesus Christ died, we are all saved. No. That is not true. It's not like Adam's sin. Remember, I just read that. And not as by the offense of one. We're not all saved because Jesus died. That's how it's different. One reason it's different from Adam. Adam sinned. We're automatically all sinners. We're all dead. But when Jesus died, it's different. We don't just magically, all of a sudden, foo-foo dust, whatever, fairy dust. We don't automatically get saved just because Jesus died. The Bible is very clear about that. We must be born again. We've got to come under that other headship. There's no other way to be saved to come under the headship of Jesus Christ rather than the headship of Adam. There's no other way but to be born again. Jesus told that man there, was it Nicodemus in John chapter 3? I don't remember who he's talking to, but he said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We got to be born again. We got to come under Jesus Christ. The only way to do that is to be saved, to be born again. I've got to rush. Adam brought death unto men. And if in our simple minds, simple human minds, I'm not saying you're simple, but I'm just saying we, in general, you know, in respect to God, in our simple minds, if we were to say, okay, Adam brought death upon all men, then Jesus Christ, he just brings us back to neutral. No. He doesn't just take care of the sin and the condemnation. If, let's just say, we're in court and we've done a wrong. We've broken the law, and we're standing before God and standing before the judge, and we deserve judgment. We've pled guilty to what we've done. Everybody knows we did it. Everybody knows. And the judge is there, and the judge says, "Well, you know what? There's these circumstances, and I feel bad for you, and you've got a family, whatever. I'm just going to say, okay, you're not guilty. Even though you committed the offense, you're not guilty. We're just gonna pass it over, and you're free to go." But that's not what Jesus Christ did. He did not just communicate the sentence. He did not just take away the sentence. He did not just take away the condemnation. The Bible says that grace abounded. Let's look at this. Verse 17, "For if by one man's offense death reigned, who did the reigning? When Adam offended God, who reigned? What reigned? Somebody tell me, what reigned? Death reigned. Death reigned. Death was the king. Death was the ruler. Why? Because we're all dead in Adam. Because we're as good as dead when we're born, because we're born in sin. We're all going to die physically, but we're also in Adam all going to die spiritually and be separated from God for all of eternity in Adam. So death reigned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's Adam, much more they," okay, remember that pronoun, "they, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ." Who's doing the reigning here at the end of verse 17? We are. "They which receive abundance of grace." Those who are born again in Jesus Christ, death not only is no longer reigning, the Bible says that we reign. Not only do we get a new king, and we do in Jesus Christ, but the Bible says that really, we become kings. And he said he would make us priests and kings, didn't he? He says that we will rule and reign with him. That's already done, by the way. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you've been born again, right now you're seated together with God in heavenly places. Do you realize that? The Bible tells us that. And during the millennial reign of Christ, is 1,000 years when Christ will come back to this earth. He will sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he will rule this earth. That's the only time there's going to be peace, by the way. There will not be peace in Israel. There will not be peace in the Middle East, no matter what we do, no matter what anyone else does. There will not be peace on this earth until the rapture takes place and we're taken out of here, till the 7 years of tribulation is done and Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. He sits on the throne of his father David, and he rules for 1,000 years. Yes. And it will be a perfect rule and a perfect reign. Who's going to be there? The Bible says we will rule and reign with him. Yes. If you're saved, I'm saved, we will come back with him. And we will rule and reign with him. I don't know what our responsibilities will be, but he says we will rule and reign. How can we say that? Because right here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, he says, "They which have come under Jesus Christ now reign in life because of grace." We walk around in the mully grubs. And believe me, I'm not making fun and I'm not pointing fun. I've lived in this. Woe is me. Things are so hard. Life is hard. Things are hard. Unbearable at times. I know some of the things that some of y'all have lived through. Bless your heart, I'm so sorry. But we reign. We can reign in life. It says it right here. That's not me. That's Almighty God. He says through Jesus Christ, death once reigned in your life, but you can reign in life because of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I was headed there earlier about the court case. Not only the judge says, "Okay, I'm just gonna pass it off. You're not guilty of this." But what's the likelihood of that murderer or whoever it was to go back out and do something like that again? Pretty likely. What is the recidivism rate in prisons? When I was years ago, 25 or more years ago, when I was preaching down in Fulton at the Reception Diagnostic Center, they said the recidivism rate there was like 80% back then. People get paroled out, they were right back there pretty quick. The likelihood, if Jesus Christ just did what Adam did, to reverse what Adam did, that would be great. Okay, you're not guilty of this. But what's the likelihood that we're going to mess up tomorrow and do something else as bad or maybe even worse? Pretty likely. He didn't just bring us back to even. He didn't just bring us back to neutral. He gave us justification. There's judgment, there's condemnation in Adam, but in Jesus Christ there's justification. What does that mean? That means I can never be a sinner again.
Amen.
Think of that word, just if. Justification. Just as if I had never sinned. That's what it means. The righteousness that we get in Jesus Christ makes us look in the eyes of the Heavenly Father just as if we had never sinned. So the things that you're holding on to and the things that I'm holding on to that we did back before we got saved, let them go. They're already gone. Y'all know that song? What sins are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? This is God. I don't remember them anymore. He's cast them into the sea of His forgetfulness. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, He's removed our sins and iniquities from us. We don't have to go back and relive those old sins. God just didn't bring us back to center in Jesus Christ. He made us righteous. He justified us in the sight of God. Oh, I've got so much more. I'm out of time. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Again, we talked about it. Law came to prove to us that we're all sinners. God already knew it. We're all sinners. The law came to prove to us that we're all sinners. And it made it personal. It made it individual. I am a sinner because I committed this. I am a sinner not just because Adam sinned. I'm a sinner because I committed this. Now I've got to do this to get it taken care of. That's what the law did. It made it personal, made it visible. But, moreover, the law entered in verse 20 that the offense might abound. And boy, did it abound. You've got hundreds of millions of people whose sins are now visible to them. Sin abounded. That's why God in the book of Leviticus and so on and so forth, all those things that had to be done and taken care of, all that law and all those sacrifices and all that blood and all that incense, it abounded. Sin abounded because law came. But what does the Bible say? But, there's that word again. There's something different coming. The offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Much more, much more. You know, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Now I've joked about that and I said, how humble of God to say, my grace is sufficient, Paul. You know, you wouldn't like it if somebody said, you know, something you spend a lot of time and work on, somebody said, it's sufficient. We'd look cross-eyed at that. Sufficient? God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. But here Paul is saying, oh boy, it's more than sufficient. It's much more. Much more. It much more abounds. Grace did much more abound. Here's what Adam did. Here's what grace did. Much more abound. Not only did it take away sin and bring us back to sinner, did much more than that. Verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There's so much I didn't even cover. There's points here I didn't even look at. But let's just see. Here's the point. Now, I don't know that everyone here is saved. I don't want to ever take that for granted. I hope that you're saved here this morning. I hope everyone here has been born again.
Amen.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. What Adam did caused us to inherit death.
Right.
Not just physical death, but physical death. Estranged from God and suffer the punishment of hell and the lake of fire for all eternity is what we got from Adam. That's not so great an inheritance, is it? But how much more have we got now through the Lord Jesus Christ if you're born again?
Amen.
Much more. We have an eternity of glory, an eternity of righteousness, an eternity of joy.
Amen.
We don't just not go to hell. If God was just merciful, He could have said, okay, yes, in Adam you have sinned and you deserve death. I'm not going to make you go to hell. You know, you'll just go to, what do the Catholics call it? You'll just go to purgatory and you'll just be. He could have done that. He'd been merciful. But it's grace. Grace. It said grace much more about it. I'll give you this and I'll be done. Mercy. Let's say I run into a fella at the gas station or something like that, and you know, I feel sorry for him. Something's going on. Maybe he's a panhandler or something. And I hand him a $20 bill. That's a pretty good gift, right? Somebody I don't know. I don't know that person. He could be a murderer. I don't. Could be. Who knows? I just feel led, and I give him a $20 bill, and he turns around and spits right in my face. Mercy would be, what's that guy deserve? He deserves a punch in the face. Mercy would be for me to wipe it off and go my other way.
Amen.
That's mercy. God did much more than that, though.
Amen.
Guy spit in my face. Grace would be for me to pull my wallet back out and take out 100 and hand it to him. That's just a simple picture of what grace is. God did much more than that.
Amen.
He didn't just show us mercy. He gave us grace, and where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We can't even understand how much more. Much more abounded. I'm done. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. God, I'm sorry I've gone long, and sorry I didn't get to everything I wanted to say. But God, I pray that you would use it in the hearts and lives of these people. Lord, I don't want to take for granted that everyone here is saved. God, I just pray, God, if there is someone here this morning that's never been born again, never truly accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and gotten themselves out from under the curse and the condemnation of Adam, and gotten themselves under the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray, and not that they get themselves, but that they accept you and accept your payment. God, if there's someone here like that today, God, please, give them the faith to believe. Give them the courage to say so, and to receive you as their personal Savior. And God, for your children, God, please comfort us, encourage us, Lord, help us to go on in the days to come, preaching the gospel, telling others about Christ, telling others about what has happened to us. What a powerful testimony, God. Have your will and your way. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray.
Yes.
Amen.